I wasn't expecting to do anything because I just finished directing a show this past weekend, and on Monday I was exhausted, could barely talk. Yesterday was a little better. Today I'm doing pretty good. So I'm going to tell the story, since I didn't have anything planned, I'm going to tell the story I've been telling to people for the last few weeks about directing this show. And the Greeks are here. Richard helped with the show, so I'll dedicate this to you. The show that we did was Disney's Beauty and the Beast. And I direct a high school theater at Coast Union High School in Cambria. So, and I think directing high school theater is probably my cheesy potatoes. That might be the thing that I fix on a little too much. That and stories. And when we first selected Beauty and the Beast, Disney's Beauty and the Beast, sorry, I got to get the Disney in there. I don't want to get sued. I think I was the first one that suggested it, and then I really regretted that decision immediately afterwards. But then we signed the license, we had to do it. Now, I remember seeing when Beauty and the Beast first came out as a movie, it was huge, and both our kids were at that age when we took them to the movie. And that was, I think, the first movie that Disney did, the first animation that was different than all the other ones. That kind of changed the whole animation game. It was a fairly strong female character. We're all up to that point. It was Snow White and Cinderella. Belle in Beauty and the Beast in the movie was a lot stronger than those characters, and the musical score was like a Broadway musical score. There were songs in it. It was like a musical, so it's no surprise that they adapted it for Broadway, and it ran for, I don't know how long, 1,000 performances, I think. It's the Disney brand. Now, I'm also a storyteller for families and children doing folk tales, and some of you heard me ranting and raving the past couple of weeks about directing this show, because Beauty and the Beast, to me, is a real special story. There's about 100 different versions of Beauty and the Beast from all over the world, and what they have in common is a few things. One is it's about a man who is disfigured. And about the original French version is about a young woman who is temporarily enslaved by this disfigured man, but then learns to love him and look past his disfigurement. Now, in all the Beauty and the Beast stories, the man that's disfigured is very cultured and very kind. And it's up to the woman, Beauty, to get over her shock of his disfigurement and find out that what's important is deep inside. Now, what I've been ranting about is that in Disney's version of Beauty and the Beast, right from the very beginning, the prologue, they steer away from that. And the Beast is unkind, and he's crude, and he's rude, and he's transformed in this disfigured his disfigured face because he is crude and rude and unkind to this old beggar woman. Now that steers away from the original story, and then Beauty doesn't have to overcome his looks. She kind of has to overcome his gruffness and his uncivility. I hated that. And I made it no secret to everybody. I just hate that they steered away from the original folktale, the idea of the original folktale, because I held that story so close to my folktale tradition and to my heart and to my emotions. So I decided I was going to rewrite Disney's Beauty and the Beast because I just couldn't stand it. I had to change the story. So I actually started rewriting a Disney score that's been done 1,000 times on Broadway, and it's probably pretty well set in stone. Starting with the prologue, because I said, this prologue just steers everything in the wrong direction. And so I started rewriting it. And meantime, I'm telling every ranting and raging, no, I can't. I hate this story. I hate it. I'm rewriting it. I've got to. And the more I tried, I think I got passed through the maybe first couple paragraphs and decided, you know, it's impossible to rewrite a Disney script. It's so set in stone. So I'm stuck and made it no secret. I hate this show. I don't want to do it. And I think that kind of leaked out a little bit to some of the students, and they, you know, it wasn't a good situation. So, but I knew I had to resolve it. I had to wrap my brain around it. I had to figure out some way I'm going to be able to get through this without feeling tortured myself and then going against all my storytelling instincts. So I did more research on it and discovered that somebody had written a big long essay about Disney's Beauty and the Beast, and saying exactly what I was feeling, and I couldn't believe it. The internet is amazing. I mean, it was like I wrote this essay. And he talked about how in Beauty and the Beast, he said, Beauty and the Beast, the Disney version, what the story that they're telling is about not a beast or disfigured human who's actually civil and kind and the beauty getting over his looks. The story they're telling is about an animal, the beast, getting civilized. It's a completely different story. And I read that essay and I went, oh, it's not Beauty and the Beast. Disney's Beauty and the Beast really isn't Beauty and the Beast. It revealed itself as a completely different story. And to me, an equally valid story, because there's a lot of stories and there's a lot of folk tales that have to do with an animal getting civilized. Think of like Tarzan, stories like that. And there's other stories that I know that are just beautiful stories. And so Disney's version of Beauty and the Beast, I discovered, is not Beauty and the Beast, even though that's the title they have on there. But I was fine. Now we're telling a different story. And I told everybody, we're not doing Beauty and the Beast. It's a different story. It's called Beauty and the Beast, but it's a different story. And fine. You know, they're teenagers. They're just like, whatever. It doesn't... You go on. No, I got to get this right in my mind. Yeah, right, whatever, okay. And while they're texting, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So I was good for a while. And then after a little while longer, I realized, wait a second. This is Disney. And the script is just saccharine and simple. And I just hate this. And I just went back to hating it again because it's just Disney and it's just, oh, God. I want to do deep stuff. You know, I want to do Tennessee Williams with teenagers or something like that, you know. So then I'm thinking, I'm just not liking it. I'm talking to the music director. Do you like it? No, not really. It's just too simple. Then we do the performances and Disney sells, I'll tell you that right now. We just packed the places. It's just like Rodgers and Hammer. It's like Oklahoma or South Pacific. There's some shows that just sell, and Disney sells. People love it. And I sat watching. I spend a lot of time when the performances come up. I spend a lot of time just watching the audience instead of watching what's going on stage. And it's like going... And this show is like going to the melodrama. I mean, it's boo, hiss, cheer. Oh, the princess got her guy. You know, just melodrama stuff. And people just eat it up. And the music, they just love the music. And they love the corny dialogue and the characters that are, you know, walking clocks and wardrobes and candlesticks. They just love it. And so even though I hated it at first and then realized I liked it because it was a different story, it wasn't Beauty and the Beast, but then I hated it because I realized it was Disney, but then I saw the reaction of people and I thought, you know, Disney is, it's saccharine and it's sentimental and it's melodramatic and all that sort of stuff, but sometimes people just need to sit and watch something like that and enjoy it just to take their mind off of it. So in the end... I liked it. I did. I liked it. So anyway, that's my story.